Did you know that Jesus was Jewish? You might be asking, what does that mean for your Christian faith?
Watch today and discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith and your connection to Israel and the Jewish people
can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Voice. Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice. I'm Jonathan Burness and I want to thank you for joining us today. As we approach the end of the year, I know that many of you are probably looking forward to Christmas. However, Jesus himself actually celebrated a different holiday, the Feast of Dedication, also called Hanukkah. Now, you may be somewhat familiar with the story of Hanukkah, but today we're going to answer some questions that you may have always wondered, like why does Hanukkah last 8 days? Ezra Benjamin is joining me once again today. Ezra, before we answer that question, let's set the historical context for Hanukkah. I'm going to turn it over to you to do that.
Sure. Happy to, Jonathan. And, you know, many of us can think of the songs maybe or the images we're familiar with, like, you know, a nine-branch menorah called a Hanukkiah. We have one right here. Or, you know, the dreidel that's spun. Or, you know, in our European Jewish tradition, potato latkes. I can smell it my memory's now growing up, those potato pancakes and this winter festival. And all of those things are part of the tradition, but they're not, in large part, actually part of the original context of what became known during Jesus' day as the Feast of Dedication, and later, the Festival of Lights. So what we do know, Jonathan, is that Hanukkah, the events that became the Feast of Dedication, Hanukkah, actually happened during what's called the intertestamental period. And what we mean by that is this gap of several hundred years between when the last of the Old Testament, or the Jewish scriptures, are written, ending with the book of Malachi, and then when the New Testament begins with Jesus' birth and the announcement of it. So in about the second century BC, as we've seen repeated throughout history, the Jewish people come under persecution. Not only their religious practices, but also their very existence. And the Greek armies who were in charge of much of the known world of that day, in that time, actually march into Jerusalem, and as kind of a stick it to you against the Jewish people, they sacrifice a pig on the altar in the temple. So they desecrate the temple, this holiest site in Judaism, where the presence of God dwelt, where Jewish men and women were worshiping the Lord. In this temple, they sacrifice a pig. We know, according to the Torah, according to Jewish law, that a pig is, of course, unclean. It's not to be eaten and certainly not to be brought into the temple. And so this pig's blood renders the temple unusable for worship. Now, some of the more zealous, God-fearing men in Israel, called the Maccabees, said this is the last straw. And they rise up, and this ragtag army of only several hundred Maccabeans actually drives back and drives out this occupying force representing a major world empire. And so they have this really miraculous world victory. And now what to do about rededicating the temple? And as the story goes, they come back to the temple. They literally clear the dead bodies out, but the temple is ceremonially unclean to restore worship. And one of the elements that's central in temple worship we see in the Jewish scriptures, in the Torah, is that a lampstand called a menorah had to be lit, and it had to be lit continually. Now, there was only enough oil to light this lampstand for one day. And as the story goes, as the historical records indicate, this one day's worth of oil to keep this lamp burning, to reinstitute worship in the temple in Jerusalem, miraculously lasts for 8 days, which is more than enough time to formally rededicate the temple and reinstitute worship. So you have a couple things going on. You have a military victory, and you have this miraculous expansion of something which was not enough into something which is more than enough, so the temple can be rededicated. And that's how we get the name.
We'll break this down a little bit. Really well told in such a short time. Just a few things that I want to highlight that you mentioned to summarize.
Right.
First, we don't find this in the Old Testament.
Correct.
Because this takes place after the Old Testament is canonized.
Right.
So the books of the Hebrew scriptures are now codified.
That's right.
And in this period, the intertestamental period, Israel is once again overrun their captors are demanding that they bow down and worship other gods,
exactly.
which is forbidden in Judaism.
Exactly.
And there's a revolt. Right. So that revolt, the Maccabean revolt,
that's right.
ends in victory, a victory that we celebrate
that's
to
right.
this day.
Yes.
Okay. But it's interestingly in the New Testament, not in the Old.
Exactly.
The Feast of Dedication is mentioned in the New in the book of John. The second thing is the temple is desecrated, as you mentioned.
Right.
So it's rendered useless.
Right.
They're no longer able to continue sacrifices. And after they gain victory, which is an absolute miracle that we celebrate,
totally.
Again, a ragtag army, likely the first guerrilla warfare that we see used mm-hmm. in history.
Right.
And God is behind the scenes, of course, orchestrating mm-hmm. all this. Mm-hmm. The temple is rededicated.
That's
so
right.
So it's the Feast of Dedication. It's really the Feast of Rededication.
Exactly.
They're rededicating the temple, and they have this dilemma, right?
Right.
They don't have enough oil to render new oil.
That's right.
So we have the miracle of the oil.
That's right.
Burning for 8 days, which answers the question, why Hanukkah lasts for 8 days.
That's right.
Right?
And there's another reason, actually, Jonathan, and we don't have much time, but let me throw it in. If you look at the historical records from maybe the first or second century A.D., after Yeshua's death and resurrection, the rabbis begin to disagree on why the holiday's 8 days. And some people actually said it's because the Maccabeans celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, for a week plus that eighth day after the Feast of Sukkot, because they couldn't do it during the war against the occupying army, the war against the Greeks. And so one rabbi says, no, no, it's a celebration of Sukkot a couple months late. Another says, no, no, it's because the oil lasted for 8 days. Who's right and who's wrong? In Jewish tradition, we agree to disagree. But nonetheless, the festival
course,
is 8 days.
The prevailing belief is that we have the miracle of expansion of the oil.
Right.
Now, it's interesting to note that the menorah is seven-branched.
Right.
This menorah is different.
That's right. That's nine.
It's nine-branched.
Right.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
But it's 8 days, but there's an additional
eight plus
candle.
One.
Eight plus one. We'll talk about the plus one a bit later, because that's an important point also.
We're also going to talk about how we see Jesus, Yeshua, celebrating Hanukkah in the temple in John 10 in just a minute as well. But before we even get there, you know, Jonathan, I'm thinking of something you say so often. Without Hanukkah, there could be no Christmas. And by that, you mean that without Hanukkah, the Jewish people, not only would the temple have been destroyed, but the Jewish people, if the Greeks had their way, may have been destroyed. And so God's faithfulness to intervene miraculously time after time through military victories or otherwise and preserve the Jewish people was essential to there being a Messiah born of the Jews.
Exactly. If you look at the history of the Jewish people,
right.
you see repeatedly efforts to destroy them. You have Pharaoh in Egypt, destroying all males,
right,
to keep the deliverer from coming. Mm-hmm. You have a people that are subjugated,
right.
that are eventually, there's attempts to exterminate them. You have Herod. You have repeated conquest. When you go to Jerusalem, it's about the archaeology
right.
of a city that is repeatedly destroyed and rebuilt, repeatedly destroyed and rebuilt. So you have the Jewish people being taken captive repeatedly or being subjugated in their own territory.
That's right.
So Hanukkah is really a celebration of supernatural victory. Ezra, what are the odds that a ragtag group of several hundred could defeat a world power?
Totally.
It's simply impossible. It's possible but by God.
Amen. And we see
because
that, as you
said. Because nothing's impossible for God.
Repeated throughout history. Certain destruction laid out militarily, according to the empires of the world, for the Jewish people, and yet the Jewish people live on. And, you know, Hanukkah is a celebration, but it's not just a celebration of the expansion of oil. It's a celebration of miraculous deliverance and survival.
Let's just rewind a few hundred years.
Right.
You have the northern and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom is taken captive by the Assyrians.
Right.
We don't have any record of their return.
Right.
The southern kingdom of Judah is taken captive into Babylon in 586. They return and rebuild the temple, and then they're overrun by the Greeks.
Right.
And the temple's destroyed again. It's desecrated. And now they're reinstituting the sacrificial system, the priesthood. This is God's fulfillment of his promise that as long as the sun shines by day and the moon and stars shine by night, they decree God's sovereign preservation of the people of Israel.
Amen.
But by God.
That's right.
Yeah, and Hanukkah is a great example of it. Coming up next, we're going to look at how God spoke through Hanukkah and how he promises, how his promises apply today. But we need to take a short break to share with you how you can help Jewish people in Ukraine dealing with the tough winter. They need our prayers, they need our support, and they're being used to help their Ukrainian neighbors survive. And we're helping them. You can help them also. We'll be right back.
Hanukkah, Feast of Dedication. That booklet by Jonathan Burness explains the origin of the holiday and how it relates to Christmas. Keep it close to you as you light your very own Hanukkah. This 9-branch menorah is an original design exclusive to Jewish Voice Ministries. For your gift of $40, we'll send you the booklet and the Hanukkah. Become a new monthly Shalom partner for $30 a month, and you'll receive a CD of music by Marty Goetz. Festivals of Light celebrates both Christmas and Hanukkah. New Shalom partners will receive that uplifting CD, plus Appointments with God, a devotional filled with scripture and readings on the Jewish feasts. It would be our joy this holiday season to welcome you as a new Shalom partner. One dramatic example of our work around the world is providing wood-burning stoves to homes of Ukrainian Jews and their neighbors during the harsh winter months. The war has cut off power and oil supplies. Imagine the relief when the heater you provide fires up to warm a family or families in Ukraine. Call this toll-free number or give securely online at jewishvoice.tv. Scan the QR code or mail your gift to this address. Your generosity will impact lives around the world.
We're talking about Hanukkah, some questions that are yet to be answered. Before we get back into the discussion, I want to take a moment to say thank you to all of our Shalom partners. Your prayers and monthly support allow us to continue sharing the gospel with Jewish people and their neighbors around the world. We could not do this without your help, so thank you. It is so appreciated on behalf of all of us at Jewish Voice. We are so grateful to you. Ezra, the unanswered question, we have the Hanukkah. The typical menorah is 7-branched.
That's right.
Celebrating God's creation, right? 7-day creation. But the Hanukkah, the Hanukkah menorah, is 9-branched. 8, we've already discussed, celebrate the miracle of the expansion of the oil burning for 8 days. But there's 9. Talk about the 9th.
Sure. Well, as you said, the 8 are to represent that the oil lasted 8 days, but there's this 9th candle, and depending on which Hanukkah you might have seen or you have in your home, maybe it's on the side, maybe it's in the center, but it's usually a little higher than the others or set aside, distinct from the others, and that's the candle that you have to start with. And the idea is the other 8 candles can't light themselves, Jonathan. There has to be a candle that lights all the others. There has to be one that begins the light that gives light to all the others. And that candle is called the Shamash in Hebrew. And literally that means the servant candle. I hope you're seeing what we're seeing. One called the servant, even though it may be higher than the others and distinct, actually serves all the others, and it's the light that gives light to all the others.
This is what I love about Hanukkah as a Jewish believer in Jesus.
Right.
Standing around the Hanukkah with my family, with my little girls, not so little anymore, one's about to head off to college, but we're lighting the Shamash, the servant candle, and that servant candle is lighting the others, and we're recalling and confessing that Yeshua is the light of the world.
That's right.
We're declaring that he is the servant.
That's right.
And what he tells us, what he exhorts us to do, which is to spread the good news, to not be a light that's hid under a bushel,
right,
but that's on a hilltop that is bringing light to the world.
That's right.
So we're called to, Yeshua is the light of the world, but calls us to be a light.
He says, you're the light of the world.
You're
I'm the light of
the world.
You're the light of the world.
Yes.
You're the salt of the earth. You can't be hidden. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and then glorify your Father
and
in
it's,
heaven.
And it's built into this observance every night.
That's right.
We light an additional candle so the room gets brighter and brighter and brighter. Don't you see how great this is?
Amen.
This is why you should be doing this also.
That's right.
Because we're remembering Yeshua as the light of the world. And that handoff, you're the light of the world.
Amen.
You're the light of the world.
Now, Jonathan,
and your servants.
Before we run out of time, let's look quickly at that John 10 passage, right? We said Jesus, Yeshua, celebrates Hanukkah. Well, how do we know that? And this is found in John 10, verse 22, excuse me. And it says, then came the feast of dedication. Remember, Hanukkah is the feast of dedication at Jerusalem, and it was winter. Well, some people say, well, maybe it was Sukkot. That could have been called a feast of dedication too. No, we know it was Hanukkah because it was winter, not fall feast time. And it says, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. And maybe you're wondering, why is that in there? Why does John take special care to tell us Jesus is not only in the temple, but walking in Solomon's portico, Solomon's colonnade. And it says, the Jews who were there gathered around Yeshua saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly. And Jonathan, to understand what's going on here, we need to think back to this historical account called Maccabees that was written again, recounting the story of the Feast of Dedication. And if you remember, the pig's blood made the stones of the altar ceremonially unclean. So even though the temple was rededicated, stones covered in the blood of swine cannot be used ever again to worship the Lord. But these were holy stones. These were the stones of the altar itself. What to do? Well, the book of Maccabees tells us, it's a historical account, that these stones were pushed to a corner of the temple in Solomon's portico. And it's written in the book of Maccabees that the leaders in the Jewish community said, one day when the Messiah comes, he'll tell us what to do with these stones. And so here's Yeshua in the temple during Hanukkah, standing at Solomon's portico, and the people are saying, if you're the Mashiach, if you're the one we're waiting for, tell us plainly. And Jesus, of course, says, I told you, it's clear by the works that I do that I'm the Messiah, but many of you don't have eyes to see it.
Yeah. And if you're the Messiah, tell us what to do with these stones.
Exactly.
They've been sitting here for 160 years.
Right. So much. If we understand the Hebrew context of the New Testament scriptures, they come alive.
Yeah. And it's a great holiday to observe because Yeshua, it's filled with symbolism that points to Yeshua. So we encourage you to get your Hanukkah. And if you have kids, grandkids, gather around together and remember Yeshua as the light of the world and his command to us that we're to be a light in darkness. And as servants, we're to spread the good news of Messiah and bring light in darkness.
Jonathan, the oil that was far from enough, it was woefully insufficient for the task at hand, became not only enough, but even a little more than enough. And I see that repeated in the scriptures. Yeshua offering, you know, the loaves and fishes. This little boy has something that barely could feed a family, but in God's hands, it feeds thousands, and there's enough left over for each one of the disciples to take a basket home. It's this idea that when we offer what we have to the Lord, right, it's never enough for the God of heaven and earth, but he can make it enough.
Yeah,
he can miraculously expand what we offer him out of sincerity of heart. That's what I think of in the Hanukkah season.
And I think of miracles. This is a holiday that is proclaiming miracles. The miracle of survival, the miracle of victory, the miracle of provision, the miracle of expansion. Miracle, miracle, miracle. You know, the founders of the modern state of Israel, particularly David Ben-Gurion, mm-hmm. never claimed to be a believer. He was an atheist. He said he was an atheist, but he believed in miracles. He said, you can't witness the restoration of the modern state of Israel and not believe in miracles.
That's right.
Now, he doesn't specifically mention God. He mentions miracles, though. Hmm. The history of the Jewish people is a history of miracles. It's a miracle that God revealed himself to Abraham and preserved Abraham. It's a miracle that the Jewish people survived the exodus out of Egypt against overwhelming odds. It's an absolute miracle that God restored the Jewish people from the Babylonian exile.
That's right.
It's a miracle that the Jewish people survived the Holocaust.
That's right.
Miracle, miracle, miracle. It's a modern miracle that the state of Israel, after it was declared, survived, outnumbered 60-1. Their surrounding enemies of Israel thought that they would be pushing Israel into the sea in a matter of days.
Right.
It's a miracle that Jerusalem was restored in 1967. This is a miracle-working God. The history of the Jewish people is about miracles, and Hanukkah is about miracles.
That's right. Even Jesus in the temple, we just read a few minutes ago from John 10, right? They said, if you're the Messiah, if you're the one we've waited for, tell us clearly. And he says, the miracles that I did should tell you clearly who I am.
Absolutely.
The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and the good news is preached to the poor.
We serve a miracle-working God, and many of you may need a miracle right now. I want to declare to you, as we just talk about Hanukkah, God is a miracle-working God. He wants to do a miracle in your life, and he will if you let him. I hope you're beginning to see how God worked through Hanukkah, this feast of dedication, and how he's still working in our lives today. We need to take a quick break. Would you please pray about joining us as a Shalom partner today? Your continued monthly support will quite literally change lives and give us the opportunity to share the gospel with people living in very difficult conditions. Stay with us after this short message. Ezra and I will come back to pray with you and come into agreement with you for your needs and pray to a miracle-working God. Stay tuned.
Hanukkah, Feast of Dedication. That booklet by Jonathan Burness explains the origin of the holiday and how it relates to Christmas. Keep it close to you as you light your very own Hanukkah. This 9-branch menorah is an original design exclusive to Jewish Voice Ministries. For your gift of $40, we'll send you the booklet and the Hanukkah. Become a new monthly Shalom partner for $30 a month, and you'll receive a CD of music by Marty Goetz. Festivals of Light celebrates both Christmas and Hanukkah. New Shalom partners will receive that uplifting CD, plus Appointments with God, a devotional filled with scripture and readings on the Jewish feasts. It would be our joy this holiday season to welcome you as a new Shalom partner. One dramatic example of our work around the world is providing wood-burning stoves to homes of Ukrainian Jews and their neighbors during the harsh winter months. The war has cut off power and oil supplies. Imagine the relief when the heater you provide fires up to warm a family or families in Ukraine. Call this toll-free number or give securely online at jewishvoice.tv. Scan the QR code or mail your gift to this address. Your generosity will impact lives around the world.
I want to say it again. I said it before. I want to say it again. I can't say it enough. God is a miracle-working God.
That's right.
Miracles are an everyday occurrence with God. And all we need to do is to trust him, to reach out, to ask. And he wants to do a miracle in your life. Whatever you fill in the blank, we want to agree with you as we pray now to a miracle-working God. So let's just join together.
Sure.
We'll begin by praying for Ukraine and those that are suffering in Ukraine.
Sure.
And believing God for your miracle. Lord, we thank you that you're a miracle-working God. We thank you that Hanukkah is filled with miracles, miracles of expansion, miracles of provision, miracles of conquering, of overcoming victory. And we speak victory into people's lives. Father, we pray for Ukrainians that are suffering now. that are cold, that are without food or heat or electric or light. We pray, Father, that you would send them provision. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, we pray that they would hear and receive the gospel, that you would turn what the enemy meant for evil to good. Yeah. And we thank you, Father, for watching over and caring for millions of Ukrainians and Jews in Ukraine. Father, we pray for families, for restoration of families during this holiday season. We pray for salvation, for family salvation. We pray for divine provision. We thank you, Lord, for healing. Lord, the report of the doctors is overruled by the report of your word that says, Amen. By the wounds of Messiah, we are healed. So receive your miracle now in Yeshua's name, in Amen. Jesus' name. If you'd like more information about our ministry, you can log on to Jewish Voice, one word, jewishvoice.tv. You can also send us your prayer request right on the website. We have a team here at Jewish Voice that's committed to praying for your requests by name. And we believe in the power of prayer, and we believe that God cares about you, and we care about you. It's a God that's alive today. The same God of Hanukkah wants to touch you. As we close our program, I want to remind you also to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122:6 exhorts us to pray for Israel and the Jewish people, and I encourage you to do that. And until next time, this is Jonathan Burness along with Ezra Benjamin saying shalom and God bless you.
Just a few weeks from now on the Jewish calendar, we'll be celebrating Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication and the Jewish Festival of Lights. And we have an opportunity for you to learn more about this Jewish holiday. This year, you can join us as we journey through the 8 days of Hanukkah. Each day, you'll receive a text message with a link to a video devotional from one of our Jewish Voice staff members. You'll learn the importance of the holiday, how to celebrate it, and you'll even receive daily encouragement from God's Word. So don't miss out. To join in, go to jewishvoice.org/8days, the number 8 days, to sign up.